Hello, and welcome to Creation Matters with your host, Mike Riddle, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. Mike is an author, teacher, and conference speaker, and is president of Christian Training and Development Services. Creation Matters is dedicated to the teaching of the biblical and scientific truths about God's creation. In the beginning, God created, and for by Him were all things created. And now here's your host of Creation Matters, Mike Riddle.
Welcome again to Creation Matters, and I'm Mike Riddle, your host for this show. And what a great day we've had already today. But our topic today is, was Darwin wrong? You know, the National Geographic just did 33 pages several months ago on, was Darwin wrong? And also, how about you folks out there, if anybody believes in evolution out there, I'd like to hear from you. Why would anybody believe in evolution? I've just got to figure that one out. Why would anybody ever want to believe in evolution? If you have an answer to that, I'd love to hear from you. I'd also like to hear from you if you believe, was Darwin wrong or was he really right? The National Geographic thinks he was right, but how about you folks out there? Was Darwin wrong or was he right? And if you have an opinion on that, give us a call at 800-955-8200. That's 800-955-8200. Well, let's start with this. You know what the Bible, I like to start with the Bible here now. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created. It starts off with that. God created the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything. The Bible also teaches that God created all creatures after their kind. The Bible also teaches that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God made us in His image and likeness. The Bible also teaches that God destroyed the entire world by a flood. Not just part of it, folks, but the entire world. Then the Bible teaches that death came through one man. Romans 5:12, death came through one man. But you know, the Bible also teaches there's something after death, folks. Isn't that wonderful news? There is something after death. And what happens after death depends on your relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ is the only answer, not one answer. He is the only answer. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except through me. That's what the Bible teaches. But you know, the followers of Darwin say something else. The followers of Darwin say just the opposite. Here's what the followers of Darwin have to say. In the beginning, nothing created everything. Isn't that good news, folks? In the beginning, nothing created everything. Then the Darwinists go on to say species evolved over long periods of time, and that, folks, we were not made fearfully and wonderfully, but man, woman also, let's just make sure we clarify that, we're nothing more than a chance accident. You parents out there, you look at your children right now, Darwin says they were a chance accident. Anybody following Darwin, believing in the Darwinism, believing this evolutionism, is saying your children are nothing more than a chance accident. The Darwinists also say that there was no worldwide flood. It's long ages that give us the what we have in our geology today. Then the Darwinists go on to say, death is nothing more than a natural process. And once you're dead, folks, that's all there is. There is nothing after life. And then the Darwinists go on to say, Jesus Christ is not the answer. They go on to say, folks, we are the answer. We are the answer to all our problems. We are God. That's what evolution teaches. Now, which one is true? Was Darwin wrong or was Darwin right? And if you're believing in evolution, I'd sure like to hear from you and give me your evidence why you believe in evolution. So, National Geographic, give us a call here, folks. 1-800-955-8200. 1-800-955-8200. Was Charles Darwin wrong or was he right? And if you're believing in evolution, why do you really believe that? Why would you want to believe something that says once you're dead, that's all there is? You know, the whole model of evolution says you have no hope, folks. You have nothing to hold on to. Live it up while you're here and do whatever you can. That's evolution. No wonder we have children in our schools today bringing guns, shooting other children. You know why? One of the reasons? Now, I don't know all the reasons, but here's one of the reasons. They are being taught. They are being taught in our schools today that once you're dead, you're not going to be accountable for anything you've done in your life. So these children can go off, kill other people, shoot themselves, and they're being taught they're not going to be accountable for what they've done. Folks, how sad it's going to be when these children who have done that stand before their Creator God, who incidentally is Jesus Christ, and find out they were taught wrong and they don't get a second chance. How sad that's going to be, folks, what our public school systems are doing to our children today, leading them down a path that offers absolutely no hope. All of you out there teaching evolution should take that to heart, what you're doing to this next generation. Folks, the answer is Jesus Christ. He's not one answer. He is the only answer. So give us a call, 1-800-955-8200. Now, back to National Geographic. Several months ago, they had a whole flash, 33-page cover story. National Geographic, was Darwin wrong? And their answer was, no, he's not. He was right. And they said, there's overwhelming evidence. Well, you know, I went through those 33 pages. I didn't see any evidence at all. And I understand a lot about science. I understand a lot about science. And I showed that magazine to many other PhD scientists. You know what they said? They can't find any evidence there either. It was the same rhetoric, the same information that had been used year after year after year. They just print it in different magazines to make it sound like it's fresh, folks. The evolutionists have not come up with one single news story this whole last century. Not a single news story. And every time they come up with something, it's always wrong. National Geographic, was Darwin wrong? They also suggested that this belief in evolution is honest confusion and ignorance. You hear what they just said there in National Geographic? They're saying that if you don't believe in evolution, you're ignorant. Well, let's find out. I don't want to call anybody ignorant, folks, because people who do believe in evolution are not ignorant, folks. They're very smart people. There are a lot of people who have their PhDs. I'm not going to call them ignorant. I don't want to get into the name-calling, but I will say they lack wisdom. And the biggest problem of all is something they need, and it's called Jesus Christ. Well, let's go to our first caller in Kingston. Holly, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. I'll tell you why I'm doing great. I had a very special lunch today with one of my granddaughters named Kinsey.
And how old is she?
She's going to be 3 years old next week.
Oh, that's great.
And then next week I go out with my other granddaughter, Taylan. And I love to do that.
Well, they're blessed to have you.
Well, thank you very much. And you have a question for us, Holly.
Yes, I have teenagers. And the thing about evolution is that it's so pervasive in our society that everyone knows about evolution. And it's hard to find information scientifically based on creationism. And I was wondering, what is the best route for that, in your opinion?
Well, Holly, the best place in the entire world to get
it's
this information.
Bible.
You're exactly right there.
I know that.
Exactly right. And but the second best place in the entire world, let's go there. Thank you for almost keeping me from making an error there, Holly. The second best place in the entire world to go get this education is a website called AnswersInGenesis.org.
Okay.
I work for them now full time. We are the largest apologetics group in the world.
Okay.
Based on creation. Go to www.AnswersInGenesis. That's all one word, AnswersInGenesis.org.
Great.
And you'll go out there, and you'll see all these tabs up there. And one of the tabs is called Q&A for questions and answers.
Mm-hmm.
You click on there. There are over 1,000 articles you can get for free.
Okay.
And they're all categorized by topic. You can also go to their store, and they have hundreds and hundreds of books written by PhD scientists and other top theologians that cover this topic.
Well, I really appreciate what you're doing. I know in public schools right now that creationism isn't even a subject that's brought up as an alternative. And I know that evolution is taught not intentionally all the time as a fact, but it's just basically the assumed way that things have been brought about.
And isn't that a shame? They've left the science out of the textbook. See, that's what they've basically done. They've abandoned science to promote evolution.
Right.
And I'm all for teaching the science, but not evolution.
Right, exactly. That's why I want to counterbalance that, because it's so pervasive. Evolution is so pervasive, it's hard to know sometimes how to approach the creation side.
Yes, and Holly, if you want some more, you can always go to our website. I have a personal website out there that's based on creation, too.
Okay.
And you can email me. You can even get my phone number off of there if you need to.
Okay.
I believe it's on there, but you can always email me on that, and I'll get you, get our phone number, and I can help out in any way, because I love to help people out who are interested in learning the truth. And
well,
here's our website.
Okay.
It's the www.creationmatters.org. Creationmatters, all one word, .org. And you can get in touch with me that way there.
Thank you so much. I really believe that you guys, even though it's an old issue, I believe you guys are on the forefront of breaking through. And I believe that there's going to be a lot of people that are coming up in the next generation that are going to be really questioning evolution. I think we're going to be seeing a turnaround.
I hope so. And I believe we have a whole next generation that we're trying to educate right now to the truth of God's word and the truth of science.
And it's people like you that are getting it out there, the information out. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And God bless you, Holly.
You too.
Well, let's go to our next caller, Jeff from Woodinville.
Hi there, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Great. Hey, I had a quick question for you, sir. A couple of years ago on the news, I heard an article about Kennewick Man. And as opposed to missing link and so forth, and haven't heard anything about that recently. Do you know if that fell through like all the other missing links?
It has pretty much fallen through. They don't tout it very much. It really wasn't so much of a missing link. It was only supposed to be about 10,000 years old, which was incorrect anyway. I remember talking to a professor about that one time, asking him how they had dated the Kennewick Man. And first of all, he said, well, the carbon-14 dated it. Then I asked him how carbon-14 dating worked, and he didn't know, so I proceeded to let him know how carbon-14 dating worked, and that it is not reliable beyond a couple thousand years, so therefore carbon-14 dating could not date it to be 10,000 years old. Then he went off and said, well, maybe they DNA tested it. And I mentioned that, you know, DNA breaks down very rapidly, and we can't test anything beyond a very short period of time. Then he threw his hands up and didn't know what to do. This was one of our professors here at one of our illustrious secular universities there. So Kennewick Man is nothing more than a modern man that got frozen somewhere.
Okay.
So Kennewick Man, not a missing link, just a regular man, not 10,000 years old. He had to be less than 6,000 years old, incidentally.
Interesting. Okay. Hey, I just want to say congratulations on your transfer to AIG.
Well, thank you very much. It's a wonderful organization. Just a great group of people there.
Great.
Matter of fact,
okay,
before you hang up, we're going to have a gentleman on next week from Answers in Genesis, Dr. Terry Mortensen, who has a PhD in the history of geology. It should be a wonderful show.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
You got it, sir. Bye.
Bye. Well, if you have a call, give us a call on 1-800-955-8200. And let's go to Jeff from Bellevue. You have a question for us.
Yeah, hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Just great again. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, yeah. I was just talking with a friend of mine yesterday about creation and evolution and God, and I was telling him how the evolutionists believe that, you know, life just started from nothing, and pretty soon we were talking about God, and he goes, well, how did God, you know, where did God come from? And I said, well, he's just eternal, you know, he was just the creator. And he said, well, wait a minute, you're telling me nothing can't, you know, something can't start from nothing, like, you know, like the evolutionists think, and then, but then you tell me that God is, you know, eternal. You know, I just couldn't get the point across. I went, you know.
Well, Jeff, can you hold on for just a little bit, because we're going to go to a break here in just a moment.
Sure, no problem,
And I
Mike.
Would love to answer that question, because, you know, from a creationist and biblical point of view, we have an answer. The evolutionists have absolutely no answer. They're dead in the water, and it's going to be a wonderful answer. So hold on. Give us a call, 1-800-955-8200. Welcome back, Creation Matters. I'm your host, Mike Riddle, and we're discussing, was Darwin wrong? And we have Jeff from Bellevue on the line. Jeff, you still there? Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, I sure am.
Okay, good. And you asked us the question and got into a conversation you just mentioned about where did God come from? That seems to be a challenge to a lot of people. If the evolutionists can't answer where matter came from, they always come back and say, where did God come from?
Yeah.
Well, hold on. I'm going to give you an answer to that question. And we actually have it written down in one of our books because I get asked this question quite a bit, and I love to answer this question. And here's how I do it. When I'm asked where did God come from, I will always respond with a question. And I will say this, I will tell you where God came from if you would just answer two questions for me. And I've never had anybody say no to that. If they would just answer two questions for me, I will tell them where God came from. Question number one, can something create itself? Think about this now, folks. Can something create itself? Can a chair you sit in create itself? No. Can a vehicle you sit in create itself? Absolutely not. Can you create yourself? Well, no. See, the answer is something cannot create itself. Question number two. Can nothing, an absolute void nothing, create something? And the only logical answer to that is no. Nothing cannot create something, folks. That is totally unscientific. Then I want to make sure that person understands what they just agreed with, and it's very scientific they just agreed with, that something cannot create itself and nothing cannot create something. Therefore, the only logical and scientific explanation for where the original matter came from is that somebody or something had to create that. I call that God. Who or what do the evolutionists call it? And I'm going to be nice to you if you're believing in evolution out there right now, because I'm not going to make you answer that question. Because now I'm going to tell you where God came from. God is a self-existing eternal being. He created time, therefore he was before time, and the Bible mentions that several times. He is not bound by time. He created time. Then the evolutionists will come up and say, well, Mike, if God is self-existing and eternal, then so is matter. Wrong. They just violated science, folks. Isn't this great news? The evolutionists cannot get around the scientific laws. See, they've just by saying matter is eternal, they just violated one of the most well-established scientific laws we know of. It's called the second law of thermodynamics. Ooh, that's a mouthful. Now, what does the second law of thermodynamics state? Well, it says this. All matter and energy is losing its heat energy. Energy is going from a less usable state. In other words, the universe is losing its available energy for doing work. Everything is slowing down. It's decaying in the universe. As a whole, the universe is decaying. Now, what do I mean by heat energy? What we mean by heat energy is molecules moving. The faster molecules move, the more heat generated. The slower they move, the less heat. Well, folks, if everything is losing its available energy to do movement, create heat, if matter was eternal, we would now be in what is called a virtual heat death. There would be virtually no molecular movement happening. But here we are moving, and here I am talking. Therefore, matter cannot be eternal, and most all scientists would agree with that. Therefore, the evolutionists have no answer for where matter came from, but we do have an answer for where God came from. He is self-existing and eternal, and since he created all matter, he created all energy, he created time, he stands outside of it. He is not bound by this universe. He is in control of it. We have an answer that does not violate science. The evolutionists have no answer. How's that, Jeff?
Yeah, thank you. I was taking notes here.
Incidentally, if you want to get information on that, you can go to our website, and we have a book that contains that. We have a whole course that contains that information in it. If you want to go to our website, www.creationmatters.org.
I've been there, Mike. It's a good, I'd recommend anybody to go take a look at that, too.
Oh, great. Well, thank you, Jeff. And it's the online, it's the Origin of Life Equipping course for any of you interested in that. It sells for just $15.
What a deal.
Oh, I think so, too.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, and God bless you, Jeff.
Thank you. You too, Mike.
Wow, what a wonderful time we're having here today. Isn't it great we get so many good believers calling in? I love that. So we're continuing on. Was Darwin wrong? Well, you know, there's something happening in the state of Kansas also. And if you'd like to give us a call on Was Darwin Wrong, give us your opinion. Give us a call at 1-800-955-8200. 1-800-955-8200. But you know, there's also something happening in the state of Kansas. And there's another big hoopla going in Kansas regarding, that's a scientific term there, hoopla. I don't know what generation it comes from, but it might age me there, about creation and evolution. What should be taught there? Well, I want to show you something. I'm going to give you some articles that have been going on here, and I'm going to show you that, one, the evolutionists are deathly afraid of science. They cannot stand up against the scientific argument, so they resort to other means. And also, I'll show you, number two, the media is clueless on what is going on, folks. They have not done any research here whatsoever. That tends to be the norm when it comes to this conversation, creation evolution. The media is absolutely clueless. I would love to go to a room and have a bunch of reporters there and go through a creation evolution discussion with them to make sure they fully understand what this thing is all about. They are clueless in many cases. But the evolutionists come up, and here's your ABC Nightline come up and said it's a battle between science and religion. No, it is not, folks. That's the first thing the media got wrong. This is not a battle between science and religion. You see, who created all the science, folks? God did. God is not in a battle with himself. Science agrees with the Bible. It always has agreed with the Bible. And incidentally, Christianity is not a religion, folks. That's the other difference. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with our Creator and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to keep that in mind. Religions are man-made things like evolutionism and other man-made religions. They are all wrong based on what the Bible teaches, because the Bible says there's only one way. All these other religions said there's another way. They all can't be true, folks. So the battle is not between science and religion. The battle is between evolutionism and the Bible. The battle is also between evolutionism and science, because they're not the same thing. Well, if you have any questions on that, give us a call at 800-955-8200. But here's what they're saying. See, they're trying to say we're masking intelligent design. No, we're not saying intelligent design has to be taught in Kansas. We're saying it's an option if you want to teach it. They're saying evolution has taken the status of science. No, it has not. But they're saying it's religion we're trying to get in. No, we're not trying to get religion in there, folks. We're not even trying to teach creationism in there, folks. See, that's where the press gets it wrong. They're not listening or doing their homework. Nowhere have the school board in Kansas said we want to teach creation in the schools. Not one person has said that. And also, nowhere has that school board said we don't want to teach evolutionism. They are saying continue to teach evolution. But think about it. Isn't that incredible, folks? The evolutionists don't want us to think anymore. Neither does the media. Isn't that amazing? Maybe that's why we're in such trouble here, folks. We stopped to think and never got started again. I love that expression. Folks, we need to get back to thinking. We need to get back to having good education. And here's something else they've had to say here. They say, oh, those religious people, they've hijacked science and education. Folks, the education system was hijacked a long time ago by the evolutionists. They've hijacked it with this whole religion called evolutionism and abandoned good science. Abandoned good science. Now, here's another gentleman who made this statement. To debate evolution is similar to debating whether the earth is round. Well, folks, what a dumb statement. I have to be honest here. That is an absolutely dumb statement for anybody to make, folks. We're not debating whether the earth is round. You know the Bible over 2,000 years ago said the earth was round? Over 2,000 years ago the Bible said the earth was round. So we're not debating that because we believe the Bible. It's this gentleman that doesn't understand what evolutionism is, folks. That's the problem. He's been hoodwinked. That's another one of the scientific terms for my generation. He's been hoodwinked. He needs to open his eyes because he's a very smart gentleman. He's a very smart gentleman. And examine evolutionism, folks. He needs to examine it to see what it really says. Examine it. See, but that's what he does not want to happen. And that's the problem in Kansas. They don't want our children to have the opportunity to think or examine evolution. You see, they're coming off and saying, we're trying to change the definition of science for students to study evolution from a more critical point of view. Folks, we're not trying to change the definition of science. The evolutionists did that a long time ago. We'd like to get back to what it originally was, the search for truth, but it's no longer that. You see, all we want to do in Kansas, all the school board wants to do, is examine evolution scientifically. And the school board is saying, let's do that. The evolutionists are saying, no, we don't want you to do that. You know, once they've said that, they have invalidated, by their own words, they have invalidated evolution from being scientific. Isn't that wonderful news? The evolutionists have claimed evolution is no longer scientific. When they make the claim, we don't want anybody to examine it. That's great news, folks. I love it when they do this to themselves. So there's many, many things happening in Kansas. You need to be aware of what the media is doing. Now, the new standards would describe it as continuing. Here's how they've actually described it in Kansas. The school board wants to do this. Continuing investigation that uses observation, hypothesis testing, measurement, experimentation, and logical arguments. The evolutionists do not want us to do that. In other words, they want our students to completely abandon science. Isn't that credible? Give us a call, 1-800-955-8200, if you have an opinion on this. Welcome back again to Creation Matters. I'm your host, Mike Riddle. And while we're on break there, we had a couple of callers asking how much longer are we going to be on here doing Creation Matters. And sorry to say to some of you would probably like to get us off, but sorry to say to a lot of you, we have three more shows to do, and then that finishes up the Creation Matters broadcast. Our last show will be June the 7th, and we have a very special guest on that show from Answers in Genesis who will be doing that for us. And next week we have Terry Mortensen, who has his Ph.D. in the history of geology, on here to talk about why we got ourselves in such a wrong mess of teaching the Earth is billions of years old, and it was all based on wrong geology. And this man knows his stuff. He's got the Ph.D. in the history of geology. Then I'll be back the week after him to do a show. Then June 7th is our last show. So we have three more shows after this one to do. And incidentally, if you do want to get our shows, we do keep them online on creationmatters.org. You can go to our website, and we do load these up there. Well, we were continuing on with this Kansas thing, this hubbub. That's another one of those technical terms, hubbub, that's happening in Kansas. Don't you love all these scientific terms here? They're just as scientific as evolutionism. But sorry the pun there, but anyway, Kansas, the evolutionists don't want us to think anymore. The media wants to stop all thinking and just accept it as a fact. Well, here's a statement from one of the teachers in Kansas. He says that all this turmoil that's going on, he says, about evolution, trying to question evolution, he says it creates an uncomfortable atmosphere in the classroom. Well, why does it create an uncomfortable atmosphere in the classroom? Because he doesn't have the answers to support evolution. That's why. Folks, if our teachers would understand that evolution is not science and get back to real science, they wouldn't feel so uncomfortable in the classroom. They would go on and start teaching real science and not have a problem with it. Now, another ones are saying, oh, we're trying to diffuse their whole idea. They're trying to diffuse science. No, we're not trying to diffuse science. We want to put science into the classroom. We want to get science back into the classroom. We don't want to be teaching, because it's not a perfect world. If it was a perfect world, I'd love to teach the Bible in every single room, every single classroom. But since it's not a perfect world, we don't want the Bible or creation taught in the science classroom alongside evolution. Why? Because, folks, we don't have people that would be qualified to teach that. That's the real reason. We'd have people out there that don't understand the Bible teaching creation and doing worse, more harm to it. What we do want, and all we're asking for in Kansas, is teach science. And the evolutionists are afraid of that. In other words, the evolutionists, what they do is they go running off to the court systems. Or they do a lot of name-calling. Folks, that's not good science. That is a great testimony that they're not scientific. So why do they continue to believe in evolution? You know, when they disregard creation, when they start going to these fanciful stories, they are proving the Bible right. Did you know that? When they disregard our Creator, Jesus Christ, and they disregard His creation, they're absolutely proving the Bible is true. Let me give you the verses that they're proving, folks. I'm going to give you the verses where they prove the Bible is exactly right by turning their mind and their hearts away from a Creator God. It comes right out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And here's what it says there. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That is an accurate prediction right there. The Bible said 2,000 years ago, that's exactly what people would be doing today. And these people are proving the Bible true. Isn't that good news, folks? I love to be the passer of good news here. But also, folks, we need to be wary. We need to be careful here. Because in Colossians 2:8, it tells us something that we need to be warned of. Colossians 2:8 warns us, folks. It says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Folks, we need to be wary of that. We need to make sure our children are trained up in the truth of God's Word first, not these fanciful stories or fables called evolutionism. Now, if you're homeschooling, I want to make a statement here. You do need to teach your children evolution, but you need to teach them what it really says, and then make sure they understand the real science. So then when they get to college or they go to high school, public school somewhere, they will know how to defend what they believe. They need to know what evolution says. So we do need to be teaching it just because it's here, folks, and it's being bombarded. We need to be able to watch the news and understand when they're promoting evolution. Every time they say, oh, we found something that's 2 billion years old, or we found a fossil that's 300 million years old, that's evolutionism. It is not science. Because we can't trust the dating methods out there, folks. The dating methods have been refuted a long time ago. Let me give you some examples here. I want to give you some why you should not trust any single date from the evolutionists, not one. Let's go to here. Let's start here. Why you shouldn't trust dates. Piltdown Man lasted for almost 50 years in our education system as a fact of evolution. It was dated at 500,000 years old. In reality, the whole thing was a hoax. The whole thing was a hoax. It was no more than 100 years old, folks. Maybe 600 at most. 500,000 years old to 600 years? That's a stretch of the imagination, but almost the entire education system bought into that. Then we have Nebraska Man was taught in the early 1900s as being 1 million years old. What did it turn out to be? A pig's tooth. That's all they found. They reconstructed entire Nebraska Man off a pig's tooth. And the whole date was wrong there. Then we had Ramapithecus Man, claimed to be 14 million years old. For 30 years that lasted in our education system and our textbooks. Turned out to be that it was a baboon still living today. Whoa, are we wrong there? 14 million years off. Then we have this thing I call old dirt. Old dirt here. A deposit once considered to be Earth's oldest seafloor, long assumed to have contained organic compounds from the earliest life forms, 3.5 billion years old. In other words, they dated the Earth, this seafloor, at 3.5 billion years old. They've now reinterpreted it to be just thousands of years old. Are you still having confidence in the dating method out there? Well, if you are, let's go a little further. I call this the Neanderthal disaster. Oh boy, Neanderthal disaster. A professor of carbon-14 dating, I heard an expert in carbon-14 dating, fabricated dates for 30 years. In other words, he carbon-14 dated these Neanderthal bones at 36,000 years old, one, another set at 21,000 years old, another set at 27,000 years old. And then after 30 years, it was found out he was fabricating all those dates to support his belief in his religion called evolutionism. The dates are now recognized to be 7,000, 3,000, and 250 years old. Wow, were we wrong there? Anybody still have confidence in the dating methods out there? Well, if you still do, how about the Mars crater count? The Mars crater count. Crater counts are used to estimate the age of surfaces of planets in our solar system. By the number of crater impacts, they say it must take that long to get that many crater impacts. Now they found out that's all wrong, because when these meteors hit the surface, they break up and form secondary craters. So the whole crater count now is unreliable. Still have confidence? How about glaciers? An old ice glacier. Deposits from Antarctica, ice thought to be 8.1 million years old, have been redated between 43,000 and about 300,000 years old. So we're only about 8 million years old off there. Folks, if you're putting your faith in man's word that this earth is billions of years old, you are not trusting God's word. God said in the beginning he created it. God said that he created a flood. And his word clearly gives the indication of about 6,000 years old. There is no way, I challenge anybody on this, there is no way you can make those days of creation be anything other than a literal day unless you add something to God's word. And you know, we have a lot of pastors out there doing that today. They are adding to God's word so that they can be like man. You know, the Bible says several times, it uses the word enmity. Enmity is hostility or hatred. In other words, if you are friends with the world, you are enmity with God. In other words, you're at war with God, folks, if you're friends with the world. We need to get our churches back in line here. We need to get back in line, start teaching God's word, trust the authority of God's word from beginning to end, and not cower to science. And it's really not science. We're cowering to another religion. We're letting this religion of evolutionism be part of our church doctrines. Folks, let's get back to where it says, in the beginning, God created. And our creator, folks, is Jesus Christ. And we need to trust him all the way through. He's not only our Savior who died on the cross, suffered a horrible death, shed his blood for us, and was raised from the dead to offer each and every one of us hope, folks. You see, the Bible also states he's more than that. The Bible says Jesus Christ was the creator of all things. That means if we don't trust Jesus Christ as the Creator, how can we trust Him anywhere else in the Bible? Let's get our churches back. Let's get back out there and take our churches back, folks. Give me a call at 800-955-8200 and give us some questions. Was Darwin wrong? 800-955-8200. Welcome back, Creation Matters again. I'm your host, Mike Riddle. We're on the last segment of our hour on the truth of science and the Bible. And we're talking about, was Darwin wrong? And we have a caller, Daniel, from Seattle. You have a question for us.
Yes, I do. I'm a creationist, but I'm trying to figure out how to explain this to my kids. In Genesis 3, we have a list of, I believe, four rivers, one of them being the Euphrates. Now, as a creationist, I believe in a universal flood. But we know that I believe both the Tigris and the Euphrates are named after the flood. How do we explain the fact that when the land changed radically, how do we explain the fact that now there's a Tigris and Euphrates also?
Excellent question, Daniel. Now, before in Genesis chapter 3, it talks about some rivers called the Tigris and Euphrates, where they come together. But after the flood, we also have some rivers called Tigris and Euphrates. How do we explain that? Well, the flood would have destroyed the entire topology of this world. Everything would have been destroyed. But after the flood, there would have been some rivers. And after the flood, we still have remembrance of things that happened before the flood. Noah and the people on the ark, there was eight people on the ark, Noah and his family. So they would have had a remembrance of a lot of things that went on before the flood. They would have passed this on to their descendants. And people may have used the same names to give these rivers names. They're not. We have no idea they're the same rivers because the whole topology would have been destroyed. So they're not necessarily the same rivers, but they use the same name.
I see. Okay, well, thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, bye.
Well, folks, I want to read to you why it's important to believe in creation, why it's so important. And I want to take this out of the book of Revelation. I want to take this right out of the book of Revelation, why it's important to believe in creation. And this comes from Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. I think this is really important for us to really understand something about our Creator God. And it says this, out of Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes round, around and within. And they do not rest day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him, who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, and get this, folks, this is the important verse right here, verse 11, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. In other words, the whole heavens bow down and praise our Lord Almighty God, singing, Holy, 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 because He is the Creator, folks. We need to think about that in our hearts, why it's important to believe in creation, not a man-made version of creation, which puts billions of years in there and death before sin, but our Lord God, Creator, Jesus Christ, what He gave us to say, folks. We need to stop changing God's Word and get back to the truth, folks. We need to repent. We need to get back and humble ourselves, folks, before our Creator God and say, God, what are You teaching me here? Not what man is teaching me. We need to take our churches back, folks. We need to teach the fact about creation. If the whole heavens are going to bow down before our Creator God, then why can't we, folks? Our next generation needs to hear this, folks. They need to hear why our Creator is so important. They need to hear what our Creator has done for us, that He came down to this planet, that He came down to this planet as a lamb, folks, and suffered a horrible death on that cross. That's the Creator of the whole universe, the One who called trillions of stars into existence, folks, Jesus Christ, came down to this planet as a man, suffered and died on that cross for what each and every one of us has done, shed His blood for us, and was raised from the dead, and stands up there, folks, and knows each and every one of us. He cares for us, folks. He has offered us the hope, and that hope is in only Jesus Christ, folks. And it says throughout the Bible, He loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, folks. That's what's really important, folks. The Creator of this universe came into this universe to save you and I, folks. What a God we have. No other religion says anything like that. Evolution offers nothing, folks. You need to trust our Lord and Creator, Jesus Christ. Put your hope in Him. And the Bible also goes on to say, folks, we don't have an excuse for not believing. Don't be making up any excuses right now, because the Bible also teaches we don't have an excuse. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 tell us this. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We have no excuse, folks. Not one person on this planet has an excuse for not believing in a Creator God. If you're not doing that right now, folks, you need to put your trust in Him, because He says He cares for you. No matter what you've done, folks, no matter what you've done, His grace and mercy can cover it all. Isn't that good news, folks? Trust in our Creator and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's time to do that. It's time to do that. No excuses. We need to come to Him. The Bible also goes on to say, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things, folks. We need to bow down before our Creator, not evolutionism. We need to bow down to the One who can help you and save you. So was Darwin wrong? Let me give you that answer. Absolutely, he was wrong. Science supports Darwin was wrong. Evolutionists support Darwin was wrong because they're afraid to speak up and teach the science. And folks, the biggest one of them all is our Creator, Jesus Christ, said Darwin was wrong, because He said He created everything in 6 days, about 6,000 years ago. The whole history of this universe is a testimony right here in God's Word called the Bible, and we can stand on that. He created the history of astronomy, folks. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the sun, the moon, and the stars. So the whole history of astronomy is right here in the Bible, folks. If you don't trust the Bible, you will not understand the history of science. The history of geology is right here in your Bible, folks. If you don't trust the Bible, you won't understand the history of geology. It's called the Worldwide Flood, the Genesis Flood, chapter 6 through 9. The history of anthropology is right here in the Bible, folks. It's called God Made Us Fearfully and Wonderfully, and He made us in His image and likeness. The whole history of biology is right here in the Bible. It says God created every creature after its kind. And that Creator says He loves you, folks. Put your trust in Him and not anything else. Folks, we've had a wonderful time here. Remember, we have 3 shows left to do. If you'd like to contact us, go to our website called creationmatters.org. That's creationmatters.org. We'd love to hear from you. And give us a call. You can email me, or you can give us a call, folks. creationmatters.org.
The Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live. If you'd like more information on today's topic, or information about Christian training and development services, simply call 425-269-3196. That's 425-269-3196. Or go to the website, creationmatters.org. That's creationmatters.org. And click on the KGNW radio box. Join us next Tuesday at 6 when we'll discover and discuss the truth that for by Him all things were created. That's all right here next week on Creation Matters, the Tuesday edition of Hope Now Live.